We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Ryan Recker, Overnight America, and time for...
Tell me something good.
Well, here we are. You got something good you'd like to share? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. There's a lot of Blues fans that may be happy to hear the breaking news from just a few hours ago. GM Doug Armstrong announcing that they've relieved Mike Yeo of his coaching duties. Craig Berube will be the interim head coach. He's got a pretty good record. Appeared in 17 NHL seasons, stints in Philadelphia, Toronto, Calgary, Washington, and the Islanders. Posted, apparently, as a player, he had 17 seasons. 61 goals, 98 assists, 159 points, 17 seasons. That's pretty cool. He spent 6 years as an assistant coach, helping the Flyers reach the postseason 5 times, including the Stanley Cup Finals in 2010. He also spent 4 seasons with the AHL Philadelphia Phantoms, including 2 campaigns as their head coach. So he's got some experience. He's got that look to him, too. Any photo I've seen of him online, he's got that look that mom used to give you when you're in trouble. You know that look? Ooh, that look like, ooh, you better, time for you to back off. You're not pushing her any further than this. All right, is there anything good that you'd like to share? 314-436-7900. How about this story from KMOV, where firefighters are praising a man who, on his way to work, or wherever it was, just happened to stop because he saw a burning building and wanted to help.
When I pushed it open, I was hollering, you know, to see if anyone was in there. But then I looked down and she was right there.
Dwayne Morris describes how the woman was unconscious on the floor just inside her front door. Morris was driving down Barron Drive on his way to work this morning.
Just happened to see some smoke coming from the back of a house. I thought it was a chimney or something at first, but I smelled something burning.
A neighbor across the street pitched in to help and called 911. The firehouse is about a mile away, just a few minutes. But those minutes are the difference between life and death. Captain Rich Hilligard.
How would you have stopped? If you saw a burning building, seriously, would you have stopped? You're just on your way somewhere, on your merry way to work. You're coming back from work, whatever it is. You tell me, would you have stopped? How many people would have? Like, I'm thinking about just driving today. See a car accident. No police lights or anything. Do you stop and help the person, let alone a burning building? Now, it's different if it's your neighbor. If it's near your house and you're in the neighborhood and you know the people, that's one thing. If you just are familiar with the houses in your neighborhood and you see something's up, that's another thing. You better believe, I know you're cracking the shades and you're looking out if there's a police car or fire truck that's a couple houses down. Oh, I wonder what's going on. I wonder. You're nosy. You know you would have stepped in and talk to someone out there. Hey, do you know what's going on? As the other neighbors start walking onto the sidewalk to check out what's going too. Would you have stopped like this man? He was the difference between life and death for someone today. That's a hero.
Says, in his mind, the two men saved the woman's life.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think we would have made it on time to save her because it was heavy smoke. We had heavy fire and heavy smoke.
Well, I went to the door. Flames was about to come out the window or something, so I pushed the door and the lady was like right at the door. I had to push the door over to get to her. All I saw was there was so much smoke, it was just like a white shirt. So I just reached in and grabbed her and picked her up and brought her out.
Good for this man. Awesome, awesome news there. That's a good story. Firefighters praising him for saving. Well, obviously there was two of them there. One called 911. He went in and saw the person, decided to take a peek. Good for them. 314-436-7900. Eddie calling in from Philadelphia. What's going on, Eddie?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to make a comment about the Blues. I think it was a good move. They hired Craig Berube. Tough player.
Yeah. You remember him?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do.
What do you remember about him?
Just always played with 1,010% every game. Took no crap from nobody, but again, I just tough. he's going to shake things up. He'll kick some butts over there.
Ah, Berube. Yeah, that's what the Blues need right now. They need someone that can add that grit to it. I don't know what he's going to do to motivate them, but, man, they need it right about now.
Well, if any of those players are lagging, he'll be the guy to get them going.
What's he like as a coach? Did you see any Phantom games when he was coaching out there?
He's just the kind of guy that he just wants his players to always give 110%, you know. He's fair, but he's very firm.
You think he would sit someone if he thought they weren't giving an effort? Well, like, let's say there's even a star player.
If someone was not given the effort that they're expected of, he would definitely approach him, no doubt about it.
Coaches handle that in different ways. Some are afraid to do it. You know, some can't just afford to do it. But then there's some that say you can't afford not to. I remember when I grew up in Detroit, and Scotty Bowman, when he was coaching the Red Wings, he'd have all kinds of issues with Fedorov. And I remember one time where it was so bad that he put Fedorov on defense to try to humble him. And I remember it got so bad, I think it was even Fedorov's dad was talking to, like, Russian media saying, I'm going to pull my kid back here and he's going to stop playing for the Wings if Scotty Bowman doesn't take him off defense. Well, you know what? He had an attitude adjustment after he played defense for a few games and it didn't go back. So, you know, Eddie, it's sometimes you need that out of a coach.
He's the kind of guy, he wouldn't ask any of his players to do anything that he wouldn't be willing to do himself.
Mm. Is he the guy that gets all, will he throw a bench on the ice if he needs to?
I mean, he's got a temper. I mean,
does
he? I mean, he wouldn't embarrass his players. Like, if they weren't giving the effort, he would definitely, behind a closed door, he'd grip him up. He'd tell him, like, what you have to do.
Okay. Are you a big hockey fan?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Sports fan.
Well, let me mention this, because Craig Berube, and then you have someone like Quinville that's out there. Do the Blues talk to a Quinville, or do you think they should be perfectly satisfied with Berube?
I feel it should just give him a chance. Give Berube a chance and see how he does. I think he's going to do good. I think he's going to get some good results over there.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for calling in all the way from Philadelphia, Eddie. Good to hear from you. That was nice. Cool. All the way from Philly. He's seen a thing or two, considering that he played 17 seasons, part of which was in Philadelphia. Also part of the coaching team for the Flyers. Let's see. From 2013 to 15, he served as head coach of the Flyers, posting a 75-58-28 overall record. Well, how about that? Anything good you'd like to share? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. There was a story about traditional TV going from bad to worse, and it links up today with Rush Limbaugh talking about radio. I had to pull some audio from this. So earlier in the show, Rush was talking about how he was planning to introduce Mark Levin into the National Radio Hall of Fame. But because of weather conditions, he couldn't fly into New York on the day of the ceremony. So he decided to give his speech on his radio program earlier. And part of that speech was defending radio. Well, obviously, if you're talking about the Radio Hall of Fame, defending radio is a good play there, because you're talking to the crowd of people that love radio. I wanted to play a couple of those clips that Rush mentioned earlier, because I thought it was really cool what he said. And I have a comment about the National Radio Hall of Fame coming up on Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. I got something good. Went to the Winter Wonderland preview that the KMOX promo staff put together. It was a lot of fun. Went to it last year, too, Tillis Park. And the way they set it up, it's kind of nice. We parked at the church across the street. They shuttle us over, get dropped off, and they had the carriage rides that go through the park, and we got to see all of the different lights. I posted a photo of one of the lights up on my Twitter page, at Ryan Recker. And our friend that just called in from Philadelphia, what's the mascot for the Flyers called? It's, I can't remember his name. Real creepy-looking dude, but people just went crazy for him. There was a light display that looked just like him there. No joke. I took a photo of it, and you can see it at Ryan Recker. Why can't I think of his name? But also, they had all kinds of other light displays. There's a million lights, and I think they said if you were to take every string of lighting, you can stretch from here to Springfield or something like that. and it was a really awesome time. So had a great time heading out there today. And if you get a chance, go check it out, Winter Wonderland, for yourself. And that's on top of on Friday when work gave us the opportunity here at KMOX to go on a Polar Express ride. Oh, that was so cool. Man, I'm just living it up right now. All the good things happening in a week's time. Got Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday. Can't wait to go visit some family. I'll be on again tomorrow night, but then I'm off Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday, which means Brad Young on Wednesday, Harry Hamm hosting a very special Thursday night Thanksgiving edition of Overnight America. And then on Sunday, I believe it is, who's doing it? Gary Nolan. Get a couple of different hosts here in the next couple of days. I'm looking forward to taking some days off. I was working in the garage the last 2 days, and yesterday I was so frustrated trying to get this stupid part off, and everything's so rusted. I got an older car, 2004, so some of these parts that are original, just impossible to get off. So my bright idea was, instead of taking it to a shop where I knew I don't want to spend $150 for them or $200 or whatever it is, or three or four, depending if you got to buy the parts from them, when there's something I can just do it myself. So I had the bright idea, I'm going to go buy some bolt cutters and just cut these bolts loose and just pop them out. That's going to be the way to do it. And then I thought, why do bolt cutters when I can just get an angle grinder? So I'm just going to grind these bad boys right off. So I went to Home Depot, picked up an angle grinder with some metal pads, and I just sawed these bad boys clear off these bolts, popped them out, put the new pieces on. Problem is, some of the new pieces I put on, I couldn't tighten all the way just because of the way they're arranged. So I'm going to get an oil change tomorrow, and when I called them to schedule it, I said, hey, do you mind if I were to, you know, if you could you tighten these while you're doing the oil change? They said, yeah, that should be okay. So that's kind of nice of them to do that. But man, I'm all ready to go. It's going to be a fun trip. Kids excited. I'm excited. I'm going to eat so much food. I'm going to put gravy on everything. I'm going to do just a cup of gravy in the morning. Instead of my parents making a pot of coffee, I'm going to ask them, hey, could you put on the gravy? I'm just going to get a nice mug of gravy. Is there anything better than the parents? Like for me, at least, because I'm 35, my parents are luckily still with us here. I know some people listening right now may have lost, but is there anything better than that meal you remember as a kid? This is once a year I get, well, twice a year, actually, I get this. Twice a year I get a Thanksgiving meal. The other time I get a Thanksgiving meal is on my birthday. Back when I was in high school, I didn't really want my parents buying me gifts or whatever. I just, like, yeah, you don't need to get me anything. So they said, okay, we'll cook you whatever meal you want. And I said, I want a Thanksgiving meal. They said, oh, you want turkey? I said, no, I want everything. What you do on Thanksgiving, I want you to do on my birthday as my gift. I mean, I want you to wake up early. I want you to prepare the turkey. I want you to make the stuffing from scratch. I want you to make the potatoes from scratch. I want it all. They're like, that's not what we meant. I meant like we could go cook some steaks up or something. Nope. Thanksgiving meal. So ever since then, on my birthday every year, in lieu of a gift, my parents make me a Thanksgiving dinner. So I get it twice a year. And man, I take advantage of it every year. Now I save the gravy boat. I get a personal gravy boat. I don't mess around. When you're passing food around the table and you're putting stuff on your plate, I don't wait for the gravy. I get my own personal gravy boat, so I don't mess around. It'll be fun. So whatever you're doing for Thanksgiving this year, please, 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 this is what I want you to do. I want you to put your phone down. Don't you dare look at it for those couple of hours that you're around family and friends. Don't look at it. Talk to them. Bring up conversations of things you may have never talked to them about. Ask them about, you know, things in their life. Show interest in them. Can you do that? I hope you can. I really do. There was a story in the Wall Street Journal. More than 1 million consumers have canceled their cable TV or satellite subscriptions in the past quarter. That's just the past 3 months, the past quarter. Figures reviewed by the Wall Street Journal show that those tactics have failed to offset the erosion of what is used to be the entertainment industry's most profitable business, selling subscribers to television. Fiber optic broadband services, Verizon, AT&T, UVerse, and things like that. Customers have quickly shed subscribers, though they had a smaller subscriber base to start with. Satellite operators have lost the most customers overall. Many residents who signed up for cable broadband get TV as part of the bundle. Part of the reason that they're even making money anymore is because they're bundling things together. Research firm Moffitt Nathanson estimates more than 10 million U.S. homes have either cut the cord or skipped over pay TV distributions since 2010 when the share of households with traditional video services peaked. So, man, not looking good. More and more people ditching the cable, which I understand. I totally understand. I have not had cable TV in years, probably 5 years now at least. When I first moved to Indiana, I thought, you know, I'm going to need it. I work in a news talk industry. I'm going to have to watch news all the time at home, and I'm going to have to pay attention and do this and do that. And I may have had cable television for 6 months. And then after that, we purchased our first home. We decided, you know what? For everything that we can find streaming, I could read all the articles I want online. I can find clips of the things I want to watch. I can get shows, episodes through some other paid subscription services. I don't need cable. We dropped it. I don't miss it. I don't miss it, not even in a little bit. There's never a time I said, boy, I wish we had cable TV. I'm telling you, I've just cut the cord. And I couldn't be happier. We saved so much money. Again, I'm cheap. Yeah, there's a lot to me, and that's one of it. One of those reasons is because it just got so expensive. And why has everything got to be so expensive, you know? Oh, I knew this was coming.
You're a tightwad.
Yep, I knew it. I knew it. All right, so while people are leaving television, Rush Limbaugh took time today on his radio program to defend radio. I thought this was awesome. The National Radio Hall of Fame had their induction ceremonies last year in New York. Well, last week, I should say, in New York. Last year, it was in Chicago. So the National Radio Hall of Fame is in Chicago. And last year, I was honored to induct a broadcaster by the name of Bob Sievers. Very well known in Indiana. He was a very well-rated radio personality. In fact, he was one of the most listened-to radio personalities in the country because he was on in the morning, and that signal of the radio station he was on just reached all over the place. We're talking about, you know, 50s and 60s and even 70s when there wasn't as much options on the radio dial. Plus, FM really wasn't a thing at that point. He was one of the great morning radio show hosts, and he was just so genuine. So I put a proposal together of why I thought he should have been in the National Radio Hall of Fame. And sure enough, they agreed. The family of Bob Sievers asked me to induct him last year, so I drove up to Chicago and a part of the ceremony. It was great. I got to give a speech, and then since Bob passed away 10 years ago, one of his daughters came up and accepted the award. They give you a little, not like a trophy, but a little award thing to show that he's in the Radio Hall of Fame, and they thanked everyone, and that was it. This year comes around, and some really big names were going to be inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame, including Mark Levin, a very well-known radio show host. He also has a television program on Fox News. And the person that was going to induct him was one and only Rush Limbaugh. But last year there were some snowstorms in New York. Flights got delayed, and he couldn't go. Today on his radio program, Rush Limbaugh gave his speech of what he was going to say to induct Mark Levin into the National Radio Hall of Fame. What I wanted to do is play a couple of clips from that, and I ran out of time already. We're going to do it right after the break. But he defended radio, and he said, well, we see the outlook for traditional TV looking worse. There's something special about radio. There's something special about that connection. And I totally agree. There's something different about what we do in talk radio than what people do in television. Well, there's some television broadcasters that have that connection with their audience, but not a lot. In radio, we have something special here. If you're listening to this radio program, you're engaged to it. You're listening to the words I have to say. You sometimes feel the need to call in and argue or agree. You have your own thoughts. You have your own opinions, but there's something special because we can reach each other in a way that television can't. You know, you leave television on to keep some sound in the background or whatever. You don't really have the opportunity to do that when you're engaged in a radio program like this one. So when I heard Rush bring this up on his radio show earlier today, I wanted to replay it for you, and we're going to do that next. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Looks like the Blues will be traveling with Craig Berube. Berube. Craig Berube, new head coach, at least in the interim, as Mike Yeo was fired as of about 2.5 hours ago. GM Doug Armstrong making the announcement. It happened right as we were getting off the air. We have extended Blues coverage on home game nights up till 11 o'clock, and then right at 11, the press release came in, and Brad Choate broke the news here on KMOX. How about that? 10 a.m. press conference tomorrow morning. You'll hear here with our KMOX sports team online too at KMOX.com. Don't miss it as they'll make that official announcement. Craig Berube, who by all accounts sounds like he's going to put up a good fight to reverse some of the problems that we've had here at the start of the Blues season. So right before the break, I mentioned Rush Limbaugh was going to induct Mark Levin into the National Radio Hall of Fame. Very well deserved. Mark Levin is a very talented, smart broadcaster. He's been doing his show for a while. He's people have Mark Levin impersonations. What would he say? Like, all right, get off my line. That's pretty good, Mark Levin. I could try other things, but he's a smart guy. By all accounts, worked really hard for everything that he's accomplished. The person that was going to induct him was Rush Limbaugh. And on his radio program, he talked about how, as Rush broadcast from Florida, was going to take a flight up to New York, do the induction, and come back down or whatever. Well, his flight was delayed because of all the problems with the snow and ice in New York. And he realized, there's no way I can get into New York tonight. No, I can't make it. So he was unable to give the induction for Mark Levin. Last year, I made it up to Chicago. Had a great time up there. I inducted a very well-deserving broadcaster by the name of Bob Sievers into the National Radio Hall of Fame. One of the greatest honors of my life, being asked to do that. Particularly my professional life, I should say. Something I'll never forget. Something that broadcasters don't get a chance to, considering Rush Limbaugh was going to induct someone. The fact that I had a chance to do that is pretty ridiculous. Not undeserving. But I totally understand the pressure, and you're around some really great broadcasters. And I had a chance to tell people about a broadcaster that most people had no idea about. Unless you lived in Indiana or grew up in that region, you probably don't know who a Bob Sievers is. Neither have I. I've never met him. Passed away about 11 years ago now, 10, 11 years ago. Never had a conversation with him. Only was able to meet him through his family and the people he knew, the people that listened to him. And of course, the people he touched. So I know what that means for that night. It's a very emotional, it's an awesome, it's a reverent style of, you know, people make jokes, but they're there for the deep respect of permanently going into the Hall of Fame. There's something radio has an advantage over the other mediums. In some aspect, the internet has that same sort of feeling, but it's temporary. Radio has a long-lasting effect. We have the ability to reach and talk to each other in a one-on-one style. You have the ability to call me and we can have conversations about things. I'm able to enter wherever you are. You can be listening in your home or you could be listening in your car. And I'm there with you. It's amazing how that works. And Rush knows the power of radio. And that's how he was going to start his speech earlier today. And I wanted to replay some of this because I thought the things Rush Limbaugh said about radio in general, they're worth repeating.
There are a lot of people on radio that never were on radio before they got their first jobs. When I started, you had to, rare exceptions, but you had to start in tiny little small markets and work and work and work and get fired, get promoted. And the way you grew was move to a larger city. And in some cases, in my case, it took 16 years to experience my first success track. And I say without bitterness that the people now end up on radio and quote-unquote national syndication have never been on radio before. They may have a book that sold or they may have been a guest on TV that some, wow, that person might work on radio. But you can always tell. Listeners can always tell seasoned broadcast specialists or talent. And One of the reasons, you know, people always ask, why don't you do television? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I've done it, and I'm telling you that for me and my chosen way of communication, radio is far more intimate and therefore has the potential to be far more influential. And it is so much more satisfying to me every day. The bond that must exist between a radio host and listeners for there to be success is not necessary on TV. The pictures override whatever bond exists. So the people that exceed and excel well in radio, I think, are really, really talented people.
Okay, so that was right before the break. You heard they play that one sound. I don't even know what they would label that. I don't know if Rush has a name for that. It's just the end of half-hour break. He always plays those sort of things at the bottom and top of the hour. So what I like about Rush Limbaugh is he is absolutely right here. I love that he decided to bring up this about the medium I love so much. I love radio. And he's so right about starting off. How many radio broadcasters today have that story about how they tried and tried and tried, and they continued to fight and found success? There's a lot that never do. And just the way it works, like any other industry. Radio is such a different industry. It's not like there's an infinite amount of radio jobs in any given market. There's a finite amount and probably a shrinking amount as they decide to take some of those jobs away. It's not like if you are working in an industry, any other industry, that you can just, you know, go find another one. I live up here on the north side of town. I'll find one on the south side or over on the east or west side or whatever it is. No, there's not a lot of options for people like me in St. Louis or whatever. If, you know, you always have to move, like where I came from. I was from Indiana. Before that, Ohio. You move. And it's difficult on your family. Rush knows that. He also mentioned that radio's always been at the bottom of the pecking order when it comes to media. Like they put all this stock into television and cable networks, things like that, but they can't hold a candle to the connection that radio has with its listenership. And he mentioned that too.
I want you to try to think about into a room in your house, just start talking and imagining thousands, 10, 15, 20, whatever number of people listening to you. It's not what people do. Nobody does this except budding young radio people who practice or fantasize or what have you. We all did. I used to pretend to be doing play-by-play for the St. Louis Cardinals after Harry Carey and Jack Buck when I was very young. But most people don't do this. It's a singular, unique experience, largely misunderstood or not known by the people who listen. The vagaries, the details, the abilities, the talents. Like I say, the people who do it well make it look natural and easy.
So right. A lot of people I admire in the radio industry, and that's what they do. They make it look easy. It's like that, too, in sports. Make it look easy. There is a lot that goes into preparing for a show, finding the right way to bring things up. And at the same time, it's like any other industry. It just takes time. It's like when I was working on my car earlier. You know, it took me way too long to replace these parts. But a seasoned mechanic could go in there and do the job a lot better than I can, a lot faster than I can. It just takes time. You have to work on it. It takes time. A lot of people, it's a path that they go and start. And who knows where they're going to end up. They branch off or do something different in between. Just sometimes you make it look easy. I am glad that Rush decided to share that speech that he was going to give to induct Mark Levin into the Radio Hall of Fame earlier. It meant a lot to hear him talk about radio in general that way. And he does it every once in a while. Maybe it was just me as a radio type of guy that liked hearing it, but it needed to be said. Rush, one of the greatest broadcasters of all time. If you were to do a Mount Rushmore of broadcasters, Rush Limbaugh would be on it. Still one of the most natural broadcasters you'll find out there. He's just so good at what he does. That was from his radio program earlier today you heard on KMOX. I just wanted to share it with you. Got a couple of other things I wanted to get to. I had some tech stories I wanted to get to. And for the first time, researchers say Facebook can cause depression. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but let's look at what they say. And what a great plan it'll be for you, putting down that phone, not checking Facebook when you're at your Thanksgiving meal this year. Please, please give it a try. It's Overnight America, Campbell Act. Welcome back to Overnight America. You think Facebook could cause depression? They're saying that it can. I don't know if it does. I don't know if the small sample sizes really amount to anything. It seems like most of these studies that do end up being published are, I mean, their only objective is to actually get whatever they're doing published, right? They're not actually trying to find an answer to anything. They just want what comes with having some sort of published science report out there because it can be helpful in their career. They could use it as a way to justify more funding from the university to do other studies, kind of give themselves job security. Many of those, and this is from MarketWatch, many of those who began with moderate clinical depression finished just a few weeks later with a very mild symptom after drastically cutting down on their social media use. This new study, conducted by psychologists at the University of Pennsylvania, has shown for the first time a casual link between time spent on social media and depression and loneliness. There's documentaries out there that show how easy it is to fraud the system when it comes to getting your science published, quote-unquote science. You can make everything up. There's very little fact-checking. There's very little people that actually take the time to overlook the things that you're submitting. If it's something that matches what they're looking for or they think it'll be noteworthy, then they'll just publish it and hope that the honor system works. Well, there was a documentary that came out where they did that, made up all kinds of stuff just to see if there would be people to publish their study, and as it turns out, there were. So I don't think this is one of those cases. The only reason I'm pointing that out is to show you that there's a lot of let's just see what sticks type of mentality, and we know that this will be helpful for us when it comes to getting more funding from the school. So they kind of push it, and like, let's look at this, because I don't know if I believe this or not. It says, a new study conducted by psychologists at the University of Pennsylvania has shown for the first time a casual link between time spent on social media and depression and loneliness. So let me just ask you, as a personal level, do you find that the more social media you use, if you're on Facebook longer, you feel more depressed? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I think the opposite can be true. I think that too much of anything could hurt your psyche. I think too much of anything and then cutting it off will feel good to you. So you may correlate that as less depression or whatever it is, but it could be short-lived because it doesn't really talk to the symptoms of what caused that to begin with, unless you think social media is the thing that caused it. During Thanksgiving this year, what you should do is put your phone down. I think that we don't get enough time to communicate with other people because of the phone. It was beautiful. Life was beautiful before the smartphone came around. Even though you'd had to fight your family members for time on the computer in order to get onto the internet and cut the phone line off because you had to check and see if the "you got mail" sounder would come up. You got mail. Boy, was that a thrill to see someone sent you a message. Sent you a letter electronically. It was a brand new thing. Now, I don't even have my notifications turned on at all for emails because it's just not worth getting alerted for something that I don't care about. You know, I'll get to it eventually. I also think that during Thanksgiving, you will be better off if you take this time to stay off your phone. And one day you'll look back at that, and I don't know anyone that will say, man, I wish I spent more time staring at my phone because I could have read that other article that means nothing. I could have looked at that one extra cat video. I could have checked out that one funny comment. I could have seen that one funny meme. No one does that. No, I don't think anyone looks back and says, boy, I didn't spend enough time on the internet. Just give it up. Do yourself a favor. The study's called No More FOMO, Limiting Social Media Decreases Loneliness and Depression. It was published in the Journal of Social and Clinical Psychology. 143 undergraduates, University of Pennsylvania, over a couple of weeks, tested their mood and sense of well-being using seven different established scales. Half of the participants carried on using social media sites as normal. The other half restricted to 10 minutes per day of each of the three sites. One 10-minute period for Facebook, one 10-minute period for Instagram, and a 10-minute period for Snapchat. Those are the most popular for those age limits. The result, those who cut back on social media saw clinically significant falls in depression and loneliness over the course of the study. When I was in college, cell phone didn't have internet hookup. Just wasn't a thing. You had to pay extra for texting, and I decided not to pay extra for texting. Why? Because I didn't want to. I'm cheap. I'm a tightwad. I get it. But it was cool. I mean, you had a cell phone mostly for emergency purposes. You might talk to other people, call family members or whatever if you're far away. But, you know, cell phones were really acceptable for having just in case of an emergency. Now, we don't have it for emergency purposes. We have it for we need to be entertained 24/7 purposes. I mean, we can't even sit down in the toilet without pulling the phone out and reading or checking messages or whatever. That's how much our cell phones have become a part of us, an extension of us. I think that it has nothing to do with social media. I think it has to do with always thinking that the only way we can entertain ourselves is by looking at our phone. We're covered with computer screens all over the place most of the time. We have television screens. We have laptops. We have smart devices. We have e-readers. We've got all kinds of stuff to stare at. How about you stare at your family members this Thanksgiving? Scary as that sounds, I really will put the phone down. And this, like last year, will be something different for Thanksgiving. A couple of years ago, two years ago. This is kind of a crazy story. So one person, he was my favorite person in Fort Wayne, where I came from before moving here to St. Louis. Guy by the name of Bob Chase passed away Thanksgiving morning. We knew that it was only a matter of time, and he was struggling with some health issues. Congestive heart failure is something he would kick and get back. And this time he wasn't kicking it. He was just larger than life type of guy. And we always thought he'll come out of it, but he always would up until that last time. Thanksgiving morning, I got the call. I was about to drive back up to my parents' house for the meal. And I received it. Bob passed this morning. And it was tough. It was a very difficult thing. You know, I was visiting him in the hospital, and we'd have conversations. And before he died, it was right before the 2016 election, he would sit up in his hotel room, and he had this really terrible TV in the hotel room. The hospital room. It was an old tube TV, and it was... The colors were off, and it had a VCR hooked up to it. They didn't upgrade anything where he was, anything. But, you know, he'd have the cable networks on, and he'd catch things here and there. And one time I went to go visit him. This would have been right before the election, a few days before the election. And he was someone that always paid attention to news. Always. He would come in, he would do commentaries for the radio station. Maybe I'll play a commentary for you someday. Actually, one of his best, my favorite commentary of his aired on November 22nd. Do you know what the significance of that day is? I don't know if it's exactly that day, but it was the anniversary of the assassination of JFK. And he talked about what it was like as a broadcaster to be working that day when you get the news of JFK's assassination. It was very emotional for him. So I go to the hospital. And the TV is off, and he's sitting in the chair next to his bed, looking out the window. I say, Bob, what are you doing? He said, you know what? Nothing. I said, what are you thinking about? He's like, nothing. I'm thinking about nothing. And I saw more and more of that in him in his final days. He was someone that really paid attention to the election, up until he went to the hospital, and then he didn't care. he got to the point where I think he knew his time was limited. And I would try to talk to him about the election. Hey, have you been watching this? Have you been paying attention to this? He's like, you know, I just haven't really been, I've been just trying to clear my mind, and I've never felt better. Just trying to clear my mind of all of this. And that is something that really stuck with me. I remembered that. And when he passed on Thanksgiving morning, it was a pretty emotional time. I was having a really hard time with it because I really loved him. And I still do. I mean, I think about him a lot. But the thing that I never realized until I left Indiana was just how powerful that was to disconnect. Not just social media, but just you got to be able to reset your brain every now and again. And I was on the clock 24/7 at my past job, and it was miserable. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. Some people are built for it. I wasn't. I don't think anyone should be. Last year, I was able to fully disconnect, and it was the best Thanksgiving. I want you to have that same Thanksgiving experience this year.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.